have everybody here this morning. Yes. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we worship the one true risen Savior. We're so thankful that you're here today. We want to wish all of the moms and grandmothers happy Mother's Day. We'll have a little bit more of that here in just a moment. But we welcome you here this morning. I was reading last night and again this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I just wanted to share a couple of verses with you here as we start. In Corinthians, Paul is talking about administering the gift, that is the literal gift of giving to the believers and those in Judea and helping the other saints out that were in need. But then Paul goes on, this is where he talks about giving out of a willing heart, and he talks about that initial giving of that gift, but he gets a little deeper about verse 10. He says, now may he, that is Jesus Christ, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberally, which causes thanksgiving to us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I just started thinking, wouldn't that and shouldn't that be a tremendous thing and true of all of us as believers, that all people are drawn to us because of the grace gift that we give to them? That ultimately through what we say and what we do and what we give, we're giving to them what Jesus Christ has first given to us. We're so thankful. We have new faces here this morning, and you know, I'm so thankful for Pastor Saunders, and I'll introduce him a little bit later as he's going to bring the word today. But I'm thankful that we're not bound together. The name of our churches is not what unites us in the body. Okay, the name of our churches, that's not the body that we are. If we profess Jesus Christ as our King and as our Lord, that's the body that we're a part of. And we're all one body here this morning. So we thank you all for being here with us today. And I just want to open in a word of prayer. But before I do, I want to give everyone just the opportunity in the quietness and the stillness of your heart to come before the Lord this morning and speak to him, pray to him, push the busyness of the morning and the week aside, and just come before his throne of grace and mercy here this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this great nation where we can come and worship you. Now, Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we thank you for the abundance that you've given us. Pray that you'd use this money to honor you in our community and throughout our nation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My heart, you brought life to me, a child of darkness became a child of light. And when my soul was so dry and I needed drink, the waters of life you became to I am crucible and Elijah's meat. You were a shelter for old Noah, a shepherd for your sheep, and in the fire you were that fourth man, and a cloud by day, a fire by night for your children to lead the way. I am, you said to me, I am. Take and eat. I am, you said to me, and I'll be what it takes to meet your needs. I'll even go by way of Calvary.
With us again as we continue in worship this morning. The words will be up on the screen for you as we sing about the power of the cross. 2 Corinthians 13 says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you.
I do want to thank Clinton Bible Fellowship. By the way, good job. for the invitation to speak, and I want you to know, it isn't a second thought. As soon as we heard what had happened, we're ready to serve you in any way. Not just me, our whole church, that's our heart, is to serve in any way we can, and that continues in the days to come. So, I want to thank Lighthouse folks for making your way out here. I also want to thank you for being good back row Baptists and filling in the back rows. Today, the back rows are all filled in. We're going to look at a mother's legacy today. And to do this, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at the first few verses. So if you have your Bibles with you, feel free to open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's also on the screen. And so I'm going to read the first 7 verses. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. If you will bow with me, I'd like to open in prayer. Lord, once again, as we come before you, in awe of the awesome responsibility of bringing your word. And so in this moment, I ask that you would minimize me, the messenger, so that your message can be maximized. And upon, Lord, speaking your message to us, may your Spirit give us an understanding of your message. May your Spirit empower us to apply your message so that we would leave here not simply hearers of your word, but doers as well. And so in this moment, may you receive all the honor, the glory that is due you as you speak to us. Meet us where we are and draw us ever closer to you. In your name I pray. Amen. I wanted to speak this morning about legacy. Legacy is something, by definition, it's something that's handed down from the past. And with all of our mothers in the room, the simple reminder is that you're going to hand many things down to your children. Some of them are things that, frankly, are beyond you. Genetic traits, physical features, and, you know, when your children tell you they don't like their nose or they don't like some of the things they have, then you look at them and go, yeah, well, my mother had it and her mother had it, and you know, that's just kind of the way it is in our family. For many years, for me, it was my voice. When people, I would call people on the phone, they would say, you sound just like your mother. That's not really something a teenage boy wants to hear. So I had to work on getting my voice much deeper. Those who know me know that I'm a very emotional person, that I tend to wear my emotions on my sleeve, and I laugh very quickly, and I also cry very quickly. And if you've hung around with my mother for any length of time, you'll know I get it from her, that she too is a very emotional person. Now, some of the things, let's be honest, are things that you teach, and you are certainly trying to teach your children things like the value of hard work and determination and not giving up. And maybe for some, you know, you're passing on to your children a love for power tools. I don't know how your family is, but that kind of thing that you're passing along. And then there's the possessions that you may pass along. There's the cherished heirlooms and the jewelry, the keepsakes and the financial inheritance. And a lot of people shook their head no when I said financial inheritance, but that's okay. You can work on that. I believe that the greatest gift that you can give your children is a spiritual legacy. And I want to speak today about giving your children a legacy of faith. See, because you can leave them many things, many possessions, but according to 1 John chapter 2, it's all going to pass. It's all going to go up in smoke. And what does last, in fact, is a legacy of faith. And so I want to encourage us today not to fall for what I call the American lie. We live in this time and in this country, and we fall for a lie as parents that says, I need to give my child everything that I didn't have. I need to give them a better life. And frankly, that isn't what God actually calls us to do. In fact, in our church, we've been studying through the Gospel of John, and we've spent the past 4 weeks in John chapter 4 with Jesus and the woman at the well. And the big point that I've been stressing over and over about that is that Jesus had a divine perspective. He was able to look at the people in his life and the circumstances in his life, not through a purely physical lens, not through a purely worldly lens, but through what God is doing in this person's life and in this circumstance. And nowhere is that needed more. A divine perspective is not needed any more than when it comes to raising our children. We need to see them and their circumstances and our raising of them through the lens of what God would have us do and what he's doing in and through them in their life at any given moment. So don't fall for the American lie, because God says, no, you don't have to worry about trying to give them everything you didn't have. What you need to give them is me. Plain and simple. Give them me. In fact, in case we're not clear about this, Deuteronomy 6 reminds us of this. As they looked at the law a second time, these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall what? Keep them for yourself? And no, it says you shall teach them diligently to your children. In other words, over and over, I'm reinforcing these things. Talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. In other words, every moment can be a teachable moment if you have a divine perspective and this is the way that you approach life. And they would even confirm this in Psalm 78, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children. That's legacy right there. That's passing down a legacy of faith of saying, this is what we have seen God do, and this is what we want to pass on to our children. Believe me, I want what's best for my daughter. In fact, at one point, I had a pretty good plan for her. It involved, you know, the best schooling. It involved maybe an Ivy League degree. It involved, you know, all sorts of great things that I had in mind for her. But I'm telling you, what I realize when I look at what's best for my daughter, what I'm convinced is best for my daughter is whatever God has for her. So humanly speaking, I give her all of God that I can. I do everything I can to teach her what it is to love God and serve God and orient your life around God, not ask him to come join you on your quest. In fact, I think it's interesting because we often say you can't take it with you. But when you lead your children to know the Lord as their personal Savior, you actually assure that they, in fact, will be with you. And for that, we ought to praise the Lord. So when it comes to this idea of legacy, I love the book of 2 Timothy. It just reeks of legacy. It's Paul's swan song, his final words, written to this young man who we believe he led to faith. And Paul knows the end is near. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come, right? He knows that this is it. And it's clear that in this book, Paul seeks to leave Timothy with words that will be of value to him. And so as we consider a legacy of faith, I want to look at two legacies that I see in the first few verses that I read here. And the first legacy is the legacy handed to Paul. He says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors. Paul was very proud of his Jewish heritage, and I think rightfully so. The nation of Israel is God's chosen people. So why shouldn't he, humanly speaking, be proud of being part of God's people? When you read his writings, it just pops out everywhere how he's proud of his Jewish heritage. In fact, in Romans 3, when hypothetically asked if there's an advantage to being Jewish, Paul would respond, yeah, you better believe there is. Guess who God gave his word to? It was us. It was the Jewish nation that he gave his word to. When falsely accused and standing before the Jews, Paul would proudly proclaim his heritage to them as if to say, hey, brothers, don't forget, I'm one of you. I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, brought up this day, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are to this day. And that's key there when he talks about them being zealous. Because as we look at our passage and he says that he's thankful for that heritage, we want to be clear that Paul's forefathers were not always right. We have a whole book containing all their not rightness. Sometimes you read through the Old Testament and you're just like, oh, really? Really? Well, all you have to do is examine your own life, and frankly, you'll probably say the same thing. So they weren't always right, but what Paul is proud of here is that they had this zeal to, in fact, follow God. Their actions weren't always right. Their theology wasn't always right, but Paul respected their devotion to God. As he came onto the scene, the things that they were doing, they weren't doing to be heretics. They were doing them to try and be true, devoted worshipers and followers of God. And Paul appreciated that. Well, let's see if we can apply this. Moms, your moms were not perfect. And your grandmoms were not perfect. And there are areas and there are ways in which they've handed you down a legacy that is not perfect. Well, Paul would say, toss out the bad and celebrate the good. And that's exactly what he did when he went into the synagogues to preach. He would applaud the good. He would say, hey, man, I'm here. I love your religious fervor. I love your attention to righteousness, but let me correct you on a few things. We need to talk about Jesus here a minute because you guys really messed up there. And he would seek to correct them. My great-grandfather on my mother's side was a believer. But he was a believer who didn't go to church. In fact, from what I understand, he didn't really trust church. But what he did do every week is he would gather his five grandchildren together, sit them down in the living room, and teach them from the Bible. Because of his teaching, my mother is saved and got saved as a child. Thankfully, she's not the only one either. And from that legacy of having her grandfather sit her down and teach her, every morning as I prepared for school, I would sit down at the table and eat breakfast. And while I was eating, my mother would pull out her Bible and she'd pull out a daily bread and she would read them. And then she would pray over me for that day. Years later, as a young adult, I would be in college and chasing the American dream, all set to graduate and head on to law school, but just wrestling and fighting God all the way, knowing that this was not, in fact, what he had for me, knowing that I was not living in a way that brought honor to him. And it all came to a climax in what should have been spring of my senior year. Well, it was spring of my senior year. I just dropped out, though. That was the problem. It all came to a head. And I walked off of campus and said, I can't do this anymore. God, you say something about an abundant life of joy, and I have none of that, and I know it's because I'm not doing what you have for me. So it's time for me to give you control of my life once again. Now, the problem was I had to go home. Mom and Dad were waiting at home, right? And so several weeks went by. I didn't even tell them I'd dropped out of school. Well, finally the day came where I just felt I couldn't hide it anymore, and so I went home that morning and walked into my home, and there was Mom. I was like, God, why couldn't this be a day where she was out shopping or something? Why do we have to have this confrontation immediately? And she looks at me and goes, you're not supposed to be here. What are you doing? And I said, well, I've dropped out of college. First thing out of her mouth, she looks at me and she says, well, are you going to follow what God has for you? I said, I thought that I'm trying. She said, well, I hope so, because I've been praying for you for years that you would stop wrestling with God and just do what he has for you. And if you're saying that that's what you're prepared to do, then come on home, and that's fine. Listen, my parents were not perfect. They are not perfect. They'll be the first to tell you that they are not perfect, and we're not perfect parents. And there's things that they did, the many rules that I grew up under, that if you come to our church, we just have fun talking about them from time to time. that I disagreed with them then, I disagree with them now, and don't have my daughter do them. But my point is that they didn't pass on they weren't perfect, they didn't do everything perfect, and they didn't pass on everything perfectly, but I can tell you that having a mother pray for me every single morning as a child left a legacy of the importance of starting your day with God. It has shaped how I start my days, and it has shaped the fact that I take it an honor and a privilege every morning that as I drive my daughter to school, that I pray over her every single morning, because that's the legacy that my mother gave me. Having a mother who cared more about me following God than about me going out there making all sorts of money and being successful in the world standards, she didn't care about that. All she cared about was that I would follow God. That has left a legacy in me about what is truly important in life. And so what I'm saying is that even when there seems to be nothing good in the legacy that was left to you, God can redeem your past. And Paul says in Philippians, I stop looking behind and keep pressing forward. And maybe that's the day today where you just say, I got to drop this stuff from the past, and I'm going to concentrate going forward, and I'm going to leave a legacy of faith going forward for my children. Because you're not perfect. I know that's new for some of you to hear that. That's why they told me to say it. If your husband's tried to tell you that, you'd punch him in the face. Your children, your teenagers try to remind you, but we all know they don't know anything. So I'm left standing here to tell you that you are not all perfect either. But that doesn't have to stop you from passing down a perfect legacy of faith for your children. You will pass along something. It will either be negative or positive. So why not let God lead you to make it be a positive? So celebrate the good in your own legacy and let go of the past. Now there's a second legacy that we see here, and that's the legacy handed to Timothy. That's in verse 5. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Timothy received a legacy of faith from his mother and from his grandmother. Do we have any grandmothers in the room? Look at that. Grandmothers. What I have learned is that grandmothers love to tell you how many grandchildren they have. And what piqued my interest was that they do it with such joy, far more joy than when they shared how many children they had. My mother usually said something like, I got four boys. But now she goes, I have four grandchildren. Like, you've never seen that happy about us. Grandmothers, it's not your responsibility to raise your grandchildren to love God. Okay? But God has given you a unique opportunity to build faith into their life. A couple ways you do this. First and foremost, you do this by being an example in how you live. The fact is, you are a role model. Oh, I remember that day when I was a teenager. My mother came to me and said, don't you realize your younger brothers watch everything you do and that you are a role model? And I remember looking back at her and saying, no, mother, I believe Charles Barkley has it best when he said, I am not a role model. I stand by that. But what I learned was I in fact was a role model. And I want to remind you grandmothers that it's the same with you. That you, in fact, are a role model. That as your grandchildren spend time with you, they're watching you and they're taking note of everything that you do and everything that you say and how you handle circumstances and how you interact with people. One of the most fun things that we do is we ask my mother's granddaughters, my daughter, and there's two other little girls and a little boy, but the two other little girls, we ask them to do their impression of, they call her Mama. Do your impression of Mama. They've got her down. Why? Because they watch her. And they watch you. And one of the greatest ways to pass down a legacy of faith is by understanding that you're a role model. Young man I had the privilege of bringing to the Lord a couple years ago talked about that, you know, his family situation was horrible. His mom was trying his best. His dad was out of his life. But the picture of Christianity that he always had was his grandmother, who prayed diligently and went to church all the time and always had a word from the Lord for him. And years later, that was the connection point that led him to the Lord. You also do this by praying for them. Being prayer warriors, I've already attested to my mother's prayer. I am the result of my mother's prayers. There's lots of times when you would have looked at me in my life and have thought, not sure where this kid is headed, but there was a mother on her knees continually praying. In fact, in our church, we broke it down in terms of a football team, that on the offense of a football team, there's this thing called the line, these big fat guys, kind of like myself, that are the first line, and their job is to block, and their job is to protect, and their job is to open up a route for the people to run through. And we've said in our church that our seasoned saints, we don't call them seniors, they're seasoned saints, they're our offensive line, and we encouraged them to engage in being those prayer warriors that we need, because us families, we're in it every day, and it gets kind of crazy, and we don't always remember to stop and spend time in prayer. We don't always remember, or you know, we sit down to read the Bible at night, and it just puts us to sleep, right? But we ask our seasoned saints to be our prayer warriors, to guard us, protect us, block for us, open up the doors that our church needs, and we ask them to do that, and it's the same with your grandchildren. That you have an opportunity in the lives of your children and your grandchildren to be that offensive line that blocks, protects, and opens up avenues for them. And of course, the third way is by building their faith, by lovingly and patiently encouraging their parents in their faith, reminding them to keep on track, reminding them that it's worth it, that it is hard work, but God is great. The main thing that you see here in verse 5, about this faith that Timothy received, is that it was a sincere faith. That word sincere out of the Greek, anhypokrito, we get our English word unhypocritical from it. Timothy received a faith that wasn't a hypocritical faith. The back then, the word was used of an actor on the stage who would put a mask up in front of their face, right? And the idea is that the person that the audience saw and heard was not the real person. And far too often, mothers, fathers, Christians, far too often, we are a different person here in the building than we are outside the building. One of the number one complaints about Christianity is that we're a bunch of hypocrites, and whenever I get that, I say, you got it, we sure are, because it's true. And what I share with people is we're trying to be less and less hypocritical and more like Christ. So mothers, let's not pass on a hypocritical faith, because when you're one way in church and you're one way at home, the ones who know it the best are your children. From 1995 to 2008, when we started Lighthouse, my previous experience, I ministered with youth in the church, and one consistent that I experienced over and over throughout those years was that when parents' faith is hypocritical, it had a disastrous effect on the children's faith. They grew up hating the church because it made their parents one person when in fact they knew their parents to be something else. And it's really hard to minister to a youth or young adult who is mad at God and mad at the church because their parents were hypocrites. Moms, your child and your teenager doesn't need another friend. They need a mother who they can respect and whose faith is real. It isn't imperative that they always agree with you. It's imperative that you're consistent. And don't try to live out your life through them. Show them to find their life in Christ. And show them what it's like for you to have your life arranged by Christ. Because the bottom line in this is simple. You can't leave your children a legacy of faith when you only exercise your faith for 1 hour each week at church. I don't have time to get into all the other verses, but I do want to point out that when you look at verses 6 and 7, Paul says that he's reminding Timothy of all this. He's reminding Timothy of this faith that he has received. He's reminding him of this in order for the purpose of stirring up the Holy Spirit in him. Or the way that I put it, no faith, no fire. You want to have passion in your life? You want to have purpose in your life? Do you want to see God do things in your marriage and with your children that go above and beyond what you ever thought possible? You want to see your marriage healed? Do you want to see your children who are in rebellion come back to the Lord? Do you want to see your kids be on fire for God? Well, then your faith must be real. And so today I want to remind you that you can't do it. But God gave you the Holy Spirit who can. You know, that was my problem, was that I was trying to be a good Christian for many years. Oh. And I realized that God wants me to simply be led by His Spirit and obey His Spirit. I wish I could say I perfected it, but I haven't. I have to have these gut check times in my life where I go, Brendan, there you are again. You're doing the old, you know, pull up my pants. I'm going to be tough. I'm just going to do it. And you're not getting on your knees, hearing from the Lord and letting Him empower you to go do it. It's a tall order, this whole parenting thing. It's a tall order, so tall that you can't do it alone. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When God brings us to the end of ourselves to remind us that you can't do it without me, but I am so happy and so prepared to do it in and through you. That's awesome. Thank you, God, for loving me that much. Well, I'm just going to leave with this. You can't pass on what you don't have. And so maybe this morning you realize that you don't have faith, that, you know, you thought about it a lot, you think about it a lot, and I applaud you for coming into church, but the bottom line is, have you placed faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come to that place in your life where you realize that it's your sin that separates you from God, and that in love, He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins, to take that penalty that you deserve. And so it's just the matter of saying, God, I don't deserve it, but thank you for it. And repenting of your sins and placing your faith in Jesus. As I close here, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna have us bow our heads, and the first thing I'm gonna do is that if you've come to that place here this morning where you realize that, you know, I've been playing church, and I've been trying to be a good person, but you know what? The Bible says all our righteousness, all our good stuff is like filthy rags. It just doesn't add up to what God desires and deserves of us. So if you've come to that place, I'm going to just say a prayer which you can repeat quietly in your seat to yourself. And the great thing that Romans 10 tells us is that if this prayer is truly from our heart, then God receives it. It isn't like a spiritual cantation. It's the move of your heart, and God receives what our heart. So go ahead and bow, and go ahead and close your eyes. And if this morning you realize that you need to place your faith in Jesus as your Savior, you can simply say this prayer quietly in your seat. Dear God, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin separates me from you. but thank you for sending Jesus. Forgive me for my sin. And Jesus, come dwell in me. I make you the Lord of my life today. And if you prayed that prayer, as I said, Scripture is very clear. You've actually entered from death into life. You have gained spiritual life. And if you've done that, while the heads are down and the eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up so we can continue to pray for you, so I can thank you. Now, some of us, you know, we accepted the Lord a long time ago, but we kind of realized, boy, you know, what is the legacy that I'm leaving? So this prayer is for the rest of us. Lord God, we need you. Boy, we sung it. We said it. But Lord, it's real now. We need you. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless our families. May you bless our mothers. May you bless our fathers. May you bless our children. And may you raise up a generation that will seek you and you alone. This is our heart's cry, Lord, to see a generation raised up that will honor and serve you, to not see them be scattered to the winds and live in sin and be torn apart from the church, Lord, but to honor you and serve you in all that they do. That's our heart cry, and we realize today it begins with us. So, Lord, you have complete permission to work in me, to speak to me, to guide me, to correct me, and Lord, I will walk in obedience to you. Thank you for loving me so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Zach Furches. I hope and pray that today's message was a blessing to you and edified you. If you should have any questions or would like to speak to myself or anyone regarding any conversations or any decisions that you have made about today's service, or if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you just need information or someone to talk to, please feel free to contact us. Our website is churchoftheopendoorct.org, and you can go on that website with more information there on how to contact us, email us, or through phone. Praying for you. God bless.